His name is holy. His name is to be praised. Through every generation, every season, we give God praise. Through every turn of our lives, we give God praise. No matter where we find ourselves, we give God praise. Because, see, He's God over our chaos. And He's God over sickness, disease. He's God over everything that comes our way. He's God over every enemy that imposes His will against our lives. He is still God, and that's whom I will trust. So give Him praise this morning.
Take away, my heart will choose to stay. Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Lord of all.
So thankful he is here. Everything we go through, he's here, right? Everything we face, he's here. And I'm so thankful for that. Hey, Miss Georgianne, how are you? All righty. Debbie, that's the one from Long Island I was telling you about. You pick it up, don't you? Hey, Georgianne, what do you call the thing that you came in this morning? Okay. All righty. Oh, man. John's a little thicker. John says ka in my ka. All righty. Miss Maddie, you want to go back with Mr. Randy? All righty. Doesn't Maddie's hair look beautiful this morning? Look at her hair. So pretty. Thank you, darling. All righty. 1 Kings. We'll be in the Old Testament today talking about don't worry. I'm enough. Isn't that good news? Like the old song that I, in the 80s, don't worry, be happy, right? Someone come in and took your bed. Now you have no place to lay your head. Don't worry, be happy. Well, God's given you a place to lay your head forever and ever. So don't worry, be happy. He is enough. This is an incredible story, really, in 1 Kings 17 of God's provision, of God's protection, of God making a way supernaturally. And I think as Christians, you know, we believe in God, we pray, we read our Bible, we say great words like faith and, you know, forgiveness and God will make a way. And we say all these phrases, but do we really mean it when we're in that place of loneliness? We're in that place of no hope. Do we really mean it? Here's a prophet who made a declaration to a king of what was going to happen, a future event. And in this future event, this prophet Elijah was going to be a part of what was going to happen. He's going to be right in the middle of it. He wasn't going to escape his own prophecy. But during this prophecy to the king, God would provide for this prophet in a supernatural way. And a verse that's really meant a lot to me since our world has changed the last 3 or 4 months and the chaos and the all the stuff that's happened. It's Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I believe in that verse. I live by that verse. I truly trust in that verse that from God's resources, my needs will be met. Whether I need healing, whether I need finance, whether I need peace, whether I need hope or strength, breakthrough, whatever I need, I trust that God has what I need because he alone is enough. If everyone else walks away from you, God will not. If everything forsakes you, God will not. If you are all alone today and there's nothing in life, you have it all around you, you can trust that God is enough for your life. And he is really all that you need because our money goes away, our homes go away, our cars go away, even our relationships can go away. But I'm thankful that the foundation of God's word never fades away. Chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, it's the king, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now there was going to be a 3.5-year drought of no rain. And this is what the prophet is speaking to the king. Now, Elijah was a servant of God, the one God, the true God, the holy God. But he was in the midst of a culture of Baalism, of all these false prophets who worship Baal. And he stood pretty much alone in his declaration of his God and who he served. And he's saying it's going to be a 3.5-year, that's how long it lasted, 3.5-year famine. There won't be rain again until the Lord tells me to speak, there'll be rain. The word of the Lord came to him saying, get hence and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Picture this. God's given him a prophecy, excuse me, of a drought. And in the midst of this drought, he was going to be a part of it. He wasn't going to escape it. But in the midst of this drought, God was going to make sure he was taken care of. Now, I thought about Melanie when I read this verse. Ashley, get me a bottle of water. One of y'all out of the kitchen, please. I'm sorry. I really need some water. I thought about Melanie during this verse, about the ravens bringing food. Because here be Melanie. Ew, it didn't wash its hands. It carried that food in its claws. Where'd it come from? Ugh, was it under a rock? Was it in the dirt? Ugh, how am I going to clean it? I thought about Melly so much of that verse. Because Melly would not want, am I right, Melly? Would not want ravens bringing you food. But in the midst of a drought, you take what you get, right? And so here is God. Who's going to command, thank you, Ashley, who's going to command the birds to bring him food, which tells us that the birds also are under what? The authority of God, right? So we're seeing supernatural provision. God said, go by this brook. I've got water for you, and I'm going to have the birds to bring you food. Verse 5, so he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went, and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread, and man, I'm going to love this verse, and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. This is every redneck's dream. I mean, think about this. Man, you're living the life, right? You're by the brook drinking the water, and you're just sitting there, and you ain't got to get up at 4 in the morning at a deer stand trying to find your own food. You're just sleeping in, and by the time you yawn and wake up, oh, what is this? Thank you, Mr. Raven. Go be back by 5 for supper. Here God used his creation to provide for Elijah during this drought. We go through times of drought in our lives. We go through times the flowers not blooming. Man, that we can't find any peace. We can't find an answer. We can't find a morsel of hope in our lives. And it's during those times we have to trust that God, maybe I can't get what I need from this source or from this source, or my job has closed me off, or this is shut down, or this door is closed. But God, you are able, with every door around me closed, to still bring me what I need, because I'm your child and you're my father. And that relationship doesn't change. It's not a circumstantial relationship. It's not based on what I do or what's happening around the world. It's based on who he is. God is my father. God is love. God is my redeemer. God is my healer. God is my protector. God is my provider. How awesome is my God that he is everything and all things in every season and all seasons. That is who I serve. And Elijah had a God who was providing for him in the midst of a drought. It may not have been a ribeye and baked potato, but I'm going to tell you something. God was sustaining this prophet in this time of drought. And God will sustain you in your time of drought, because he is enough. That's why we don't have to worry what comes about tomorrow. I don't have to worry what the news tells me, because this news tells me something way different. This news tells me I will never leave you and forsake you. This news tells me you'll walk through the fire and not be burnt, through the water and not drown. This is what this news tells me. This news tells me I am his child and he is my God. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. I know whom I serve, so I don't have to worry, because my source doesn't come from the natural realm. My source comes from a God who's in a supernatural realm. That's why I don't have to fear whatever faces me, because I know my God is bigger than whatever faces in front of me. My God is taller than any giant before me. My God is stronger than any lions that surround me. My God is who I trust, and that is why I don't have to worry. I'm just not... I seen a story, church. I got to share this. I shared it with Mr. Randy for service. And please, please, I'm not making light of the real issue of people that have had a battle with what's going on right now, but I want to tell you this. There's a study that came out on Fox Channel 13 out of Tampa, Florida. Have you heard this story? They have done a survey of 2,000 people. Now, some of us are in real trouble in this room. They have determined that you are twice as likely to get the COVID if you're 6 foot or taller. I promise the Lord, that's a story. I read it this morning, Fox 13, Tampa, Florida. Surveyed 2,000 people and says if you are 6 foot or taller, you are twice more likely to get the COVID. Because the COVID understands who's 5 foot eight and who's 6 foot three. So if you're under 6 foot, you are safe. If you're 6 foot or taller, Rodney, 6'2". That's exactly right. Rodney's got Jesus. My point of saying this is we are doing studies like this to continue to invoke more and more fear. It's unbelievable how they can prove that. It's unbelievable how they can prove that. All I know is what Rodney says. I got Jesus. And that's enough. He's more than enough. Like the old song, I've been through enough to know He is enough for me. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Now, he's at this brook, but he's no drought. So we understand brooks have to have water to survive, right? So verse 7, it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. So think about the oxymoron here, right? Here's the prophet. It's going to be a drought 3.5 years. So God protects them, sends them to a brook. Well, the same brook God sent them to is now dried up. Can you imagine waking up one morning, going to the brook, and getting his little tin cup? God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, this thing would be empty. What does I do now? God had a plan. The brook dried up from his own prophecy through God, but God was going to still provide. So what? The brook dried up. See, sometimes our brook dries up and we think that's our only source, right? Well, this brook dried up. What do I do now? Man, God's got brooks everywhere. God is the God of all creation. If it ain't made, God can make it in a moment, in an instant. Hallelujah. God's got more than Walmart. And He's open all night long. So it came to pass, there had been no rain in the land, so the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, for I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Think about this, right? So, first of all, I've got wild birds bringing me food by a brook. Well, the brook dries up. So, who's going to provide for me now? You're going to send me to some rich king, right, Lord? Or some rich guy along the road? No, a widow woman. A widow woman. Now, this wasn't one of them rich widow women, as we'll read here in a minute. He sent them to a really not a good situation. The word of the Lord, I didn't say that. So he arose, verse 10, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering her sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and says, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I mean, can you imagine the prophet? God, are you kidding me? Okay, you're going to sustain me with a woman who's got one last meal for her son, and they're going to die. Oh, boy, I'm serving a good one today. Understand that God's plans are beyond sometimes even what He's trying to do for us. That there's other people a part of God's plan. That He's connecting people together. That sometimes your blessing becomes their blessing. And that's what's going to happen here. So He's got a widow woman who ain't got nothing. And look what Elijah said. Now, this took some boldness too, right? Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it to me, and make one for you and for your son. Now that sounds real selfish, don't it? That sounds like me at the dinner table with Melanie when there's only one biscuit left. You don't want that, do you? Are you going to eat that? No, go ahead. You want it? Okay, thanks. Here is the prophet saying, okay, that's good, but first I want you to make me one. But see, the prophet was setting her up for something beautiful. For thus the Lord God of Israel has said, the barrel of meal shall, did I read verse 13? Yeah. Shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of your oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He is telling this widow woman, as you do what I'm saying to do, as you feed me first, God is going to sustain your oil, going to sustain your flour until the rain comes. Don't we, some of us can say that now in the last 3 or 4 months, that God has blessed us during this time, that God has sustained us during this time of such uncertainty, during this time of people losing jobs, losing income, things shutting down. During this time, our cruse of oil, our flour, God has stretched and stretched and stretched until the rain comes again. And the rain's going to fall again. The blessing, of course, we've never left the blessing, but we're going to see the rain fall again. But right now, we're in a drought kind of world. We're in a great season of uncertainty, a great season of fear, a great season of change, a great season of people doing all kinds of things that we wouldn't have realized a few months ago would ever happen. And we're in this season of uncertainty. This woman had to make a decision. I mean, think about this. You've got a son, your mom and son, and some strange man you don't know comes to your house and says, feed me first and then feed yourselves, when all they have is enough for one last meal and not certain how long they'll live after that. Remember what Jesus said to Satan when he tempted him in the wilderness in 40 days and nights? Jesus responded to Satan's, one of his temptations, by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. If this woman had placed her faith in just what she had in front of her, she would have died. If she had placed her faith in that one last meal and honored her own word, she would have ate that last meal, her and her son, and they would have perished. But she believed beyond that last meal. She believed beyond the tangible in front of her. She believed beyond the measurement of what she saw. She believed in something bigger than that. She was looking ahead to a rim beyond her own rim. And that's where we have to be. We have to look beyond this natural rim. The natural rim don't always look very good. The natural rim is full of negativity. It's full of problems. It's full of fear. It's full of discouragement. It's full of all kinds of things we don't want to face and deal with. But when we realize that we serve a God who's not in this rim, but above this rim, when we serve a God who's above all the things we're battling, we realize that the bread we're looking at shouldn't be the bread in front of our face. It should be the bread of life, the manna which came down from heaven to change the world, that if the man eat of this bread, he shall never die, is what it says in John chapter 6. This is the bread this woman had to make a decision. Do I do what's right in the moment for me and my son, or do I believe this prophet? And do I have faith in God that he can give me more than this last meal? Let's see what she does. Verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. Here we see wild ravens making a way for a prophet. Then we see a broke widow woman making a way for a prophet. These, church, let's be honest. These are two ways we wouldn't seek out. Okay? Gordon all of a sudden loses his job, don't have a dime in his pocket. I don't think he's going to think about, okay, well, wild birds can come bring me Taco Bell every day. And I'll tell you what, I'll call the brokest widow woman I know and see if I can eat her last meal, hoping that'll save my life. But see, God works so differently. We can write down on a piece of paper how we think God should move in our lives and then just burn it up, because it's not going to happen that way. It is so funny how God does move in mysterious ways, right? He moves in ways beyond us, but all this was for a purpose. You know, this story of Elijah, God was preparing him for a future battle he would face at Mount Carmel, when he would be with those 450 false prophets, and he would call upon his God, and his God would consume the altar and slay the prophets. That happens after this. So God had Elijah right where he wanted him. He wanted him in this place because in this place, he was preparing him for something even greater. See, in our drought, when we think God has left us, maybe it's just that God is preparing us for something more. Maybe he's preparing us for something deeper that we would never walk into if we weren't in the drought. But in the drought, God says, flower will bloom again. In the drought, the water can rise again. In the drought, victory can come again. It's in the drought that we seek God, that we trust God, that we rely on God. And then we see God's hand move in a way that only he can move. Because see, I think it comes to a point in our lives, we have to take our hands off the wheel and say, God, I'm tired of driving because I'm driving all the wrong directions. I'm driving into dead ends. I'm driving into nowheres. I'm driving into places that don't bring me anything positive in my life. God, I'm taking my hands off the wheel. And from this point on, I let you drive the car because I trust you more than I trust me. We have seen this prophet sustained by wild birds, by a brook, by a broke widow woman. And I love what it says, that her oil and her cruse remained. She had enough until the rain fell again. God sustained her. She didn't have to worry no more. When we truly trust God, worry all of a sudden disappears. Because if I really trust God, how can I be worried? If I really have faith in God, how can I fear? If I really believe God is all that in a bag of chips, so to speak, how can I possibly doubt God? If I believe God's the best thing since sliced bread, how can I believe God and not trust God? How can I not trust his provision? Because I've seen him move over and over and over again. I hadn't shared with the church yet, but we actually had a blessing here at the church. I've not really shared it, but our air unit on that side of the church went out about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. A storm came through and knocked it out, quit working. We lost one of our heat pumps. Well, that heat pump been acting up for a couple years, been making this awful noise. I mean, if you ever went by and heard it, it's terrible. But it was working. We're not going to spend money on something that's working, right? So we kept running. My HVAC guy, he says, man, I can't believe that thing still, it's been going 2 years. I said, I know, it's still going. Man, that thing's tough. It sounded awful, but it was working. And so the last couple of years, we'd budgeted about $5,000 in our budget to allow for that in case it broke down during the year. We'd have that put aside. And so it went out. Storm came through. Me and Melanie were down in Gastonia that night, and I get a call from the Alarm South that, you know, there's smoke in our building and something. And so I call Randy because he's close. He came right over. Checked it out. Firemen came. There was smoke all in the church and all that. Well, of course, we filed with our insurance company, and they ended up replacing it for us. And we only had to put $500 toward that, and they covered the rest. So you know what? God just took care of it. So I'm like, you know, to me, that was a blessing because it needed to be replaced. And God, and when I called the insurance company, we have a $1,000 deductible in our policy, but because we had never filed a claim in 15 years, they said your deductible is only $500. We'll knock it down for you. And so they completely covered it. So we have a brand new, better heat pump we had before at a $500 cost. And so God provided in a supernatural way, you know, lightning, thunder, smoke, fire, you know, God took care of it. So I just want to share that with y'all, how he did that. So I've seen God move in different ways to provide and make a way. Okay, the story's not quite done yet. So he's with the widow woman. Things are good. They got food every day. And apparently Elijah's staying with her because, you know, her cruise ain't running out, right? So I stay there too. Verse 17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. And she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now think about the thinking here. In this time period, this culture, in this teaching, she had thought that because this great man of God was under her roof now, it brought attention to her sins. There was an awareness of this woman's sins now by God, and she saw her son dying as punishment for her sins. But once again, it wasn't. It was something for God to do again. And he said to her, give me your son. He took him out of her bosom, carried him up to a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried to the Lord and says, O Lord my God, hast thou brought evil upon the widow of whom I sojourney by slaying her son? Now what Elijah's saying here, he himself was confused. He's saying, Lord, you brought me here. I gave her the word you told me. You've blessed her financially where she's got food. I've got food. And now her son dies? Once again, to quote my wife, God, you got some splaining to do. I don't understand this. Why is her son dead when you sent me here to bless her life and to provide for me? You ever situation you question God sometimes? Why? If you don't, church, you're either lying or you're not human. Because I think all of us have questioned at times why. Maybe you've never been mad at God, but I think we've all questioned a little bit why. God, I've tried to follow you, and this is not happening in my life. Why? Or God, I'm trying to serve you, and this has happened in my life. Why? God, I prayed for them, my dad, my mom, my brother, my child, and they died. God, why? I lost my job, Lord. I don't understand. Why? I give my offering and tithes, and I'm broke as I ever was. Why? I think we all question sometimes in our journey, God, I just don't know why. And here's a point where Elijah was questioning God. Lord, why would you kill her son, is what he was saying. God, why would you allow her son to die when you sent me here to provide and be a blessing for her? And verse 21, so he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. This child was brought back to life by the hand of God. We see something that looked impossible. We see something that looked over. We see something that looked like it was finished. This is just how it is. But God wasn't done. And Elijah once again stepped out in faith, believing for something he couldn't see, but trusting that God was able to do it. And that is a journey and walk of faith. There's times we don't see it, we don't feel it, but we need to step out by faith, trusting God regardless. And this is what Elijah did, because he knew this woman had helped save his life and sustain him, and he wanted to honor her and give her son back to her. Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. See, all this had a great purpose. For this woman to see the reality of the God. Remember, in this, where he lived, and in this region, Baalism was huge. False worship, false gods was huge. And now this woman has seen the true living God in action. Her flour and her oil had not run out. Now her son, who was dead, is now alive again. She had seen God at work. I think when we really see the working hands of God, we don't have to worry. God, I'm not going to worry. You're enough. God, you're enough. Because no matter what happens here, you are still enough. No matter what comes my way, you are enough. No matter what tomorrow brings, God, you're in my tomorrow, and that's enough. That's all I need to know. All I need to know, God, is you're not going to leave me. That you're not going to turn a deaf ear to me. That you're not going to close your eyes upon my needs and upon my life. All I need to know, Lord, is every step I take, you are holding my hand. Every step I take, you're right beside me. Every thought I have, you are right there. Every word I speak, God, you are there. That's all I need to know. And when I know you are enough, I don't have to worry. No matter what the news report from whoever or whatever comes against me. This is the news that changed the world. This is the news that changed you. This is the news that changes his people. Because this is his word, and it faileth not. No matter what comes against us, I don't have to worry. Worry brings fear. Worry brings depression. Worry brings sickness upon your body. Worry brings all kinds of problems. I don't have to worry. God is able to make a way. And I am thankful for that. So don't worry. Be happy. No one's come in and took your bed. So you still got a place to lay your head. So don't worry. Be happy. For those of you watching on Facebook, don't worry. Don't be discouraged. God is enough. Man, he's everything. Some of us have been through some really low points. Maybe you're at a low point this morning. You're at a very low point of your life. You know, me and Melanie were very saddened. On our trip this week, we experienced a homeless woman who was on this bench the whole time we were there, laying on this bench, sitting on this bench, eating some days, sleeping, never left that bench. And I asked the person at the front desk, I said, "What's the story with this woman down here? Do you know anything about her?" I said, "Yeah, she's been out here for 2 years." I said, "The police leave her alone. She don't bother nobody. They let her just hang out there on that bench." But says, "I don't know her story, but she's been living on that bench for 2 years. Had her umbrella up during the daytime, sitting on that bench, laying in blankets at night. And it was so sad, and it broke my heart to see a person's life confined to a bench on a street. For 2 years, that's her life. But here's the good news. It was an older lady. Yeah, I would say she's in her 60s. Yeah. Here's the good news. You find yourself on a bench in a street. You still got God. You still got him. And I promise you, he will not leave you on that bench. He will bring you off of that. We are so blessed. That's why I love that song, "Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise." Oh, we're so blessed. Church, we are so blessed. Don't worry. God is enough. We don't know. We got different things happening right now with these, you know, different phases going on. And, you know, school, I know, like, I just heard this morning that Mary's school is going to be all virtual, completely virtual, 100% virtual. I know Christian school in Florida, which makes, you know, no sense because apparently that's, you know, one of the worst states, according to what they say. It's one of the worst states. And, yeah, everything's open there. But Christian school actually they have the choice of full-time being there or full-time virtual, right? That's your choices. And so Christian's already got several committed kids that'll be there full-time, 5 days a week. So we got a lot of things that are, look, we cannot allow fear to win, church. God's enough. And I'm going to tell you something. If we can't trust God when things are against us, when do we trust God at all? I mean, this is the time to stand and trust with our heart. God, your angels are around me. Through the midst of the plague. Remember what Psalm 91 says? "There shall no plague fall nigh thy dwelling. There shall be 10,000 fall at thy right side, 1,000 thy left. It shall not come nigh my dwelling." The plague shall not come nigh my dwelling, because my God is stronger and greater and bigger and mightier than whatever comes my way. That's who I trust. I don't walk around scared, church. Me and Melanie, neither one. We'll tell you, we don't walk around scared. We walk around like children of God, trusting. See, the bubble I live in ain't the bubble some others live in. The bubble I live in is called the bubble of the Holy Ghost. It's the bubble of God that I am surrounded by His glory. I am surrounded by His presence. I am surrounded by His power, and that is whom I trust. So yes, I'm in a bubble, but I'm in His bubble. Hallelujah. I'm in the bubble of God, and that is who I trust. Glory to God. Don't worry, man. God is enough. Oh, He is enough. And I trust Him. And I'm going to live my life to the fullest until He calls me home, no matter what. Because He's bigger and He's greater. Come up here and play something, Marjorie. Nate, come on up here if you would. And singers, come on up here. This story of Elijah should absolutely encourage all of you in here, all of you that are watching, should encourage you to trust that God will make a way supernaturally. If He fed a prophet with wild ravens and a broke widow woman, He can surely take care of your needs. And He will. Go ahead and sing something, Marjorie.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Yes, He is. Let's stand up and worship together.
He's all I need.
Yes, Lord, You're all we need this morning.
All I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all
Let's hear y'all sing it this morning, church. I promise you, He will meet all of your needs, no matter what they are. There is nothing you can present to God He doesn't have an answer to. There is nothing you present to God He can't help you with. There is nothing you can't give to God where He says that's out of my reach and it's out of my reign. He is over all things we could ever give to Him. So whatever you're battling this morning, He is all that you need. Don't worry. He is enough. Give it to Him and watch what He will do in your life. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated this morning for a minute. Have our ushers come up. A couple of ushers this morning. Time for us to give of our offering unto the Lord. Maybe you might not know this. Ralph had a procedure this week. He had surgery. It went in one of his legs, and he was having some blood flow issues and had to put a stent in that leg and open some blood flow up, and he is doing a lot better. He told me this morning that the pain is gone, and he's doing much, much better. So we want to thank God for bringing him through that and giving him a healing. He actually, when he got him out of surgery and he got home, he actually passed out, and he had to call 911, take him back. But they got him adjusted and got him fixed, and he can stand there all day long holding an offering plate now. He can stand there the next Sunday. Let's pray. Oh, it's okay. We'll let you off work. Father, we thank you for this message and your word. We pray that you bless the offering today as we come to you, giving from our heart, Lord, sowing a seed of faith, Lord, into your kingdom, knowing that it is from your kingdom that all blessings come. We thank you, God, for being with us this morning and just filling your presence. Bless every seed that is sown for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come present your offering at this time if you have something to give this morning to the Lord. Thank you, Sister Christian, for clapping. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Everybody good? Anybody any same thing before we close out? Kevin, you good? Ready to go swimming, aren't you? Yeah. Thank you. I felt that too rise up. Thank you for confirming that. Hey, Nick. Definitely. Wow. They're smart. We got smart people in this country. I'm glad I'm not typo. Yeah. Anybody O blood in here? So if you're 6'1", type O blood. Anyway. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Yeah. Have you seen that on Facebook? It's got a picture of the Amish people and they're talking to each other and he says, One Amish guy tells the other Amish guy, says, I wonder why none of us have got COVID. And the other Amish guy says, we ain't got TV.
That guy's so funny.
Yeah, you need to work through that.
What it is a mask that you don't spit to yourself. Exactly. And then, it's everything. My thing is just pick the Jesus and keep doing what you're doing.
That's right. He is enough, church. He is enough. All righty. Well, I reckon it's time to go. And I hope you'll be here Wednesday night. We'll pick back up on our Armor of God series Wednesday night. We're not finished with that yet. So we'll pick back up on Armor of God and go the next piece of that armor and talk about that. So anyway, Ashley, are you good? See Ashley's picture holding a shark? Wasn't it cute? It wasn't alive, though. It was dead. But she was so cute. Yeah. I mean, she's got that shark up in her face. Oh, woo, the nose to nose. Look at that little shark. My good gracious. Let's stand up. Let's close out. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this service. I pray for your continued protection upon your people as we go our separate ways. Watch after all of our Living Word family not with us, God. I pray for continued mercies day by day. You meet their needs. Let them know they are loved, they are missed, and they are part of our family. We give you praise and honor for being our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Happy Sunday.